So what are you thinking of doing once you hit that financial freedom number?
Girl, there are so many things I could be doing, I don't even know.
Our guest today, Michelle Schroeder Gardner, her and her husband, they got an RV, and they're traveling all over the U.S. right now.
To be honest, I probably wouldn't do that, but after our talk with her, it sounds kind of fun.
It sounds pretty awesome and definitely has me tempted. But wait, before we go into the episode, we have two announcements. First, Gwen and I have goals this year to up our side hustle game in 2018, and we know that many of you out there do too.
So we figured instead of struggling by ourselves, we do it together in a big group, and who better to do it with than our awesome listeners?
We were really inspired by episode 31 with Laura of iHeart Planners. She told us about how she created a cleaning checklist. It was an Excel document, and she sold it on Etsy as a digital download.
After hearing that, we were both like, wait a minute, that sounds like something I could do. Make a document, sell it on Etsy for people to print. That's passive income right there once you get it up and running. Since it's a digital download, no shipping to worry about. Easy peasy.
And I've been selling on Etsy for about a year now, so I can help get us all up and running. So in terms of the format, what we had in mind, we were hoping to create a mastermind. Gwen and I have both been in masterminds for the past year, and it's been hugely helpful for us. Gwen, you want to tell them a little bit about what the format's like of a mastermind?
Yeah, so mastermind is a group call of some kind where we all get together and we talk about goals that we have in common or products that we're doing. So we've both been in a blogging mastermind where we talk about all things blogging and life. And then we've both been in a group with fellow podcasters to talk about the ins and outs of podcasting and to swap tips. It's incredibly helpful. So you think that some people are in competition, but there's plenty of pie to go around. So we're actually just all helping each other succeed.
Yep. And everyone does it in a different way. So that's what the most helpful part is. So for those of you out there who want to do a side hustle, you don't necessarily know what you want to do, but you'd be open to the idea of getting on Etsy and doing a digital download, just come do it with us. It's going to be awesome. It'll be fun. So how this is going to work, we envision a mastermind that will meet for 6 weeks. We will give you all of the details so that you can get started and we will get up and running and get our products up on Etsy. And in terms of ideas, I mean, you can do tons of digital downloads. Cleaning checklist is obviously one that Laura did that was successful. I know there are some in the wedding space, the bachelorette party space. That's actually the space that my Etsy product is in. So my digital download is going to be in that area. Gwen, what were you thinking of?
I am going to do stained glass patterns.
That sounds amazing. Sounds awesome. So there are a million different things you can do. If you think that you're someone who needs the extra motivation, or it might be fun to hang out with us for 6 weeks and launch a product, then let's do it together. Please go to our website, firedrillpodcast.com/mastermind, and sign up for our email list. The way that we will send out all the information is through that email list. Let's make some money together. All right. Our second announcement is actually regarding our book giveaway. Who's the lucky winner, Gwen?
The lucky winner is Alex. Congratulations. Thank you so much for leaving such a wonderful review. And we hope that you thoroughly enjoy your copy of Aaron's book, Broke Millennial.
Awesome. And now on to the episode.
Welcome to Fire Drill Podcast, where side hustles, savings, and creativity lead to financial independence. With your hosts, Gwen from Fiery Millennials and Jay from Millennial Boss.
Hey everyone, we have an awesome episode planned for you today. We have Michelle here from Making Sense of Sense. Hi Michelle, welcome.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
And I have my wonderful co-host Gwen.
Hey, what up?
So Michelle, let's kick it off. Tell everyone a little bit about yourself.
My name's Michelle. I blog over at makingsenseofsense.com. I started my blog around August of 2011 completely as a side hustle, and it is now my full-time business. Around July of 2015, I sold my house and have lived in an RV ever since.
That's awesome. So we brought you on the show today because we have so many people in the FI community who are interested in living in an RV. And real talk, we want to know what it's like. So tell us about everything from the A to Z. I think maybe we'll start with, why did you want to live in an RV in the first place?
Our story of why we started RVing is a little funny. Before we'd actually bought the RV, I've never been in an RV before. My husband always wanted to live in one, though. So he brought me to an RV dealership, and we started looking at RVs, and we thought it was just going to be like a part-time thing. Like we would just travel home on the weekends or do small weekend trips in it. And from the moment that we bought it and actually took it home, we actually just never went home after that. We had our house for like a month and we actually didn't go into that house like the whole 30 days. It's kind of a confusing story, but we put our house on the market in St. Louis in February of 2015, got a rental house in Colorado for about, we had it, it was a 1 year lease, but we got the RV around 6 months after we got the rental. And so the other 6 months of the lease, we were actually never there. We had my sister watching the house for us and we were just in the RV the whole time. So we eventually got rid of the rental as well, and we have been in the RV ever since.
So you sold all your properties?
Yep. We got rid of the rental house and our house in St. Louis and got rid of all of our stuff. We actually downsized by, we had Salvation Army come over to our house with like one of those big trucks and told them to take whatever they wanted. We also had our neighbors come over and told them to take whatever they wanted. Like our neighbors came over and took like the TVs, the furniture and stuff like that. And then we gave away a ton of furniture and stuff to other family members. And then we also like rented a huge dumpster to throw away all these, all that trash that we were hoarding over the years. So now all we have is what we have in the RV. And then we also have like photo albums and like little childhood mementos and stuff at my husband's parents' house.
Sweet.
Did you feel sad about giving your stuff away?
No, not at all. It was actually pretty nice getting rid of it all. And it really made us realize how much junk we had.
I can imagine. So what kind of RV did you buy? And did you do any research? Did you buy a fixer-upper? What was the strategy in finding your first RV?
Yeah, so our first RV, since we thought it was just going to be a part-time thing, it was plenty of people can live in like a small van-sized RV. And that's what we had as our first one. It was a 2014, I think, or 2015, maybe, Viva, Itasca Viva. It's like a Winnebago brand. And that one was around 24, 25 feet long, and it had a bathroom, a shower, a really small bed, and a kitchen and stuff like that. And it was nice, but we eventually upgraded. We're now in a 2016 Tiffin Allegra bus. So think like one of those really big diesel pusher bus looking RVs, and that's pretty much what we're in right now.
I've seen pictures, and it's beautiful.
Thank you. It's nice. It's really homey and comfy.
So can you give people a picture of what it looks like on the inside, your first one and then the one you have now?
Yeah, definitely. So the first RV was a lot smaller. So like we ended up upgrading because like one of our dogs is almost 80 pounds and she like couldn't like turn around in the first RV. So just think about it being that small, like where two people couldn't really be walking in and at the same time. And then the one we have now is like a ton bigger. It's like the biggest RV we've ever been in. We have like a dining area, a big kitchen. We have a residential fridge in there. We actually have a washer and dryer. We have a huge bathroom that's actually bigger than the bathroom that we had in the house that we owned. We have a big bedroom with a king size bed. So it fits us a lot more, especially two people and two dogs. And with us running the business out of here, it's a lot better for our family situation.
So basically what you're saying is that your RV is better outfitted than my studio apartment.
Possibly. We have heard that.
Yeah, from what you're describing, it definitely sounds like that.
Does it have a shower and a kitchen and all that, like the full shebang?
Yeah, definitely.
Cool.
I get that question a lot. People ask me, like, a lot of people who have never been in an RV don't realize, like, there's actually a toilet in here. There's a shower. One of the top questions I get is, where do you use the bathroom? It's like, well, I use it in my RV. It's my house. Definitely have a toilet in here and a shower and a sink and a fridge and everything like that. So it's just like a tiny home. It has everything that you need. It is a tiny home.
So did you need a truck to pull the first one or just the second one?
No, they're actually both motorhomes.
Oh, okay.
So we have a tow vehicle behind it. We tow our Jeep behind our RV.
Oh, you tow the Jeep. The Jeep doesn't tow the RV. For some reason, I thought the Jeep towed the RV because that's how my husband's parents have their RV set up. They tow it with a Jeep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So I know your Jeep. There was this blog article, all of the cars of all the personal finance bloggers, and I noticed that you have this awesome Jeep with a tent that pops up on it.
Yeah, I was asked to take part in that article and I replied back immediately and I was like, I'd love to be in it, but it's definitely going to be the least frugal vehicle in this whole article. And it was when it came out. But yeah, we have a camper van top, like a camper top on top of our Jeep. It's pretty nice.
I love that. And it made me want to buy a Jeep just so I could have that cool tent thing. But I don't get how it works. Like, do you actually sleep on top of the car? Do you have an air mattress or something? Or how does this work?
So the top is called an Ursa Minor top, and it's basically, so like our Jeep now is kind of like an overland vehicle, so we could like off-road, and then if we want to camp somewhere along the way, all we'd have to do is park, just make sure we're level, then the top pops up, and there's actually like a mattress built into that already, and there's like lights and stuff up there, but there's not much room up there other than to sleep. Like you could sit up, read a book while you're sleeping. But I mean, other than that, it's pretty much just a sleeping area. But yeah, it's okay. Nice. It's actually pretty comfy.
Do pets fit up there?
Our smaller one does. Our bigger one can't get up there. So she usually just sleeps on the bottom of the Jeep when we do use it.
It sounds like your Jeep is nicer than my apartment, because I miscalculated when I built the loft. And so it's the top of my mattress, my queen size mattress, is about 20 inches from the ceiling. So you kind of have to like army crawl your way from the bottom of the bed where the ladder is to the top, because you can't sit up or else you hit your head.
That's funny. Yeah, there's a little bit of room. I mean, it's not luxurious, but it fits its need. It does the need.
Yeah, I think Gwen and I are obsessed with finding tiny places that are nicer than our apartments. We've stayed in a houseboat before, which is really cool. We just had someone on to talk about tiny homes and tiny living. So this definitely fits with the theme, and RV is something that I'm considering doing in the future too.
That's a lot of fun.
What's the coolest trip you've been on in your RV?
We like everywhere that we've gone. Like one of our favorite states are definitely like Utah, Colorado, Arizona, everywhere in the Pacific Northwest. We love pretty much everywhere west of the Mississippi, pretty much.
You and most Americans.
Yeah.
Including myself.
Yeah. Anywhere that there's mountains, mountain biking and ocean, hiking and stuff like that, that's where we like to be.
So speaking of that, how do you see the next 10 years of your life going? I'm asking you this question because you are a personal finance blogger, but it seems that every once in a while you mention maybe that you're pursuing early retirement or financial independence too. So I want to dig into that a little bit. Is that something that you and your husband are planning for?
Yeah, we're always thinking about early retirement, and I actually talk about that on my blog a decent amount. But yeah, we're on track to, well, we could retire whenever we want. We have enough saved. We save over 95% of our income every month. So, I mean, we have plenty saved right now, and we're always thinking about ways to earn passive income and diversify our income even more. So, I mean, that's always definitely something that we're thinking about.
How would it look like for you, though? Because a lot of people say that when you're an entrepreneur and you have the freedom to travel anywhere you want, you guys have this awesome setup with your RV, but at the same time, you're still working. So is the reason that you wanted to retire, is that you just want to just stop doing what you're doing?
No, we just save just so that we have the option to retire whatever we want to. I still like what I do. I love running the Making Sense of Sense business and everything that goes along with it. So I don't see that ending anytime soon.
Right. Awesome. Yeah. I think the two of us can definitely relate to that. I mean, FI is all about increasing your options and not limiting them by pigeonholing yourself into anything.
Yeah.
Cool. Sweet. So in terms of, advanced personal finance hacks. I know your audience may differ in terms of their knowledge, but in terms of the FIRE community audience, do you kind of know any tips and tricks that you haven't shared yet on your blog that you think might be helpful for people to know?
Regarding early retirement or RVing?
Oh, I guess either, but I was thinking more in terms of money.
Money? Okay. One thing that I always like to tell everyone, and I say this like all the time, the average person watches over 35 hours of TV a week. So I always like to point out to people, like people always say, well, I don't have enough time to side hustle or to find ways to save money or make money. So I always like to point out that statistic, because there's tons of time wasters in the average person's life. So even if you could just reclaim like 15 hours of those TV watching hours that the average person does, you could find ways to make extra money, and that could help you pay off your debt, reach retirement sooner, go on that dream vacation, start RVing. Just finding ways to use your time better is something that I always recommend that someone do.
Yeah, my coworker, he always asks me, he's like, oh my gosh, did you see the new episode of this new show on Netflix? And I'm like, I'm like, A, this is like the 50th time I've told you I don't have Netflix. And B, no, I don't watch TV.
Yeah, it's crazy how much TV people watch.
So I have to admit, I am addicted to a new show now. It's Outlander, and it's on Starz. Has anyone seen this show?
No.
Oh man, you guys are. I'm.
I haven't heard of it.
I'm addicted like a crazy person. I just can't wait. I'm gonna watch another episode tonight. It's so good, so good. Well, but
we actually, so we signed up for like a free Netflix trial last month, and we started a season, a new TV show or whatever. So we just had to renew it like 2 days ago or whatever. So this $7.99 that we're paying for this month of Netflix is the first time that we've paid for any TV in like 2.5 years.
That's amazing. That's just pretty crazy. I can't even imagine that.
We're addicted, so I definitely need to cancel it.
How do you turn your brain off, though? So for me, I have a lot of different side hustles going on. I work full time. I have a blog, too. I need just mindless time where I just like turn my brain off from thinking about something related to fire or entrepreneurship or fitness or something else and just like watch a dumb TV show. How do you get that fixed for yourself if you don't watch TV?
We definitely do a lot of outdoor activities. So a lot of hiking, a lot of biking and stuff like that. We have 2 dogs in the RV. So, I mean, we have to walk them a decent amount just because the RV is still pretty cramped for even dogs or people. But, I mean, we're not perfect. A few months ago, we finally realized and learned how to put YouTube on the TV. So, I mean, we were watching YouTube channels the past few months. But before that, we actually, like, were hardly watching any TV. I don't know how we made it.
Super impressive. So in terms of outdoor activities, do you guys follow the weather over the year? How do you plan out where you're going to go?
Yeah, we're always following the weather. Our RV is a four-season RV, and that means that like we could go somewhere like where it's freezing and stuff like that. We did go somewhere over the summer. We went to Vegas in August. So it was like 118 degrees like every day for like, I don't even know how long, the whole time we were there almost. So for the most part, we like to follow like 70 degree perfect weather, like no crazy thunderstorms, no tornadoes, no snow, no freezing weather or anything like that. So right now we are, yeah, nothing like that. Like that's not something that we'd want to do. I don't want to do that for me or the dogs or anything like that. So right now we're in Tucson, Arizona. It's like 75 degrees like every day for the next 10 days. And I'm sure it's going to be like that for like the next few months too. So it's like really great here. And a lot of RVers come to Tucson or Phoenix or other places in Arizona for that very reason in the wintertime.
So I'm assuming that you guys have RV friends now. How do you plan your social life around living in an RV?
So I always like to tell people this. So a lot of people think like the average RVer is a lot older and that you wouldn't really find like younger couples or younger people in an RV. But it's pretty funny. So like when there is a younger couple, like you're automatically friends with them. You'll go to the brewery with them. You'll go on a hike with them. They'll knock on your door like the moment that you pull into an RV park and ask you if you want to hang out. And that has happened to us a few times actually. So, I mean, it's a lot easier to make friends in the RV world just because you automatically have that connection already. So I would actually say it's a lot easier to make friends. When we lived in Colorado for that 6 months to a year or whatever, we actually didn't make any friends there. It was a lot more difficult. But in the RV world, I think it's just a lot easier to make that connection.
Yeah, I can imagine. So let's dig into costs. If someone were to think about getting an RV and then living an RV lifestyle over the course of this year, how would that person budget for it? Like, what would you say are some of the average costs they need to consider?
Just like with a house, like there is varying house costs. And I always like to point that out. So like you could live in a super cheap house that's like $100,000, $50,000 or whatever. Or there's also like $5 million houses. And I always like to point that out to people because just that's the same thing with RVs. You can basically choose what budget that you want. You could find a $10,000 travel trailer to live in and tow it with something super cheap. Or you could buy a $2 to $3 million RV. So, I mean, it all depends.
Wait, what?
On... Yeah, there's RVs go from super cheap to super expensive. A lot of people don't realize that.
$2 to $3 million?
Yes.
Oh.
And there's actually a lot of them on the road. So.
Holy.
So one thing I always like to point out to people, though, is that even if there is a $2 to $3 million RV, they're usually parked right next to the RV that's like $10,000. So, I mean, no matter what your budget is, like you could still enjoy the same things. So like you could go to a stay at a national park and no matter what, it's not like they're like, oh, only $3 million RVs can stay here. Everyone is allowed everywhere pretty much for the most part. So whatever your budget is, there is room for pretty much everyone. So like I said, like you could get a cheap RV, an expensive RV, but the other major cost would be like where you're staying every day. There's RV parks and that can range from anywhere from like $250 a month to like $5,000 a month, depending on where you want to be. The more expensive places are usually like California, Florida, the Keys, and stuff like that. Vegas is actually pretty expensive. There's a nice resort there. There are motor coach resorts around the United States, and those are usually going to be more expensive. And then the cheapest way to camp would be to find free boondocking spots. So that would be like BLM land. There's tons of BLM land out west, and that is usually free spots to camp for up to 14 days usually.
And you call that boondocking? I've never heard of that.
Yep. It's where you camp on free land without any hookups. So there won't be electricity or water or anything, but RVs are self-contained, so you really don't need that all the time. A lot of people are able to just live in their RV without any hookups for at least a couple of days. Sometimes they actually don't need any hookups. They can live without it.
Yep. So I have seen from other people who have done the van life thing that they actually got turned away from some campgrounds because their RV was too old. Is that
I was actually going to bring that up. So when I last said that you could park anywhere you want, there are some RV parks that do have rules. Sometimes the rules are your RV has to be like 10 years old or newer, but that's far and few between. There aren't a lot of RV parks that force that rule for the most part. The most common place I've seen that would be in California, but for the most part, everywhere is not like super strict on that rule. If you call and ask them and explain your situation, especially if you actually do have a nice RV and that you can prove that you've taken care for it, they just don't want someone to come in with like a broken RV usually that can't ever leave. So sometimes they do have that rule, but I honestly haven't seen it that often.
That's a good tip. So if you're looking to buy an RV, what are a couple things that you should look out for as like red flags? Like, don't never buy an RV that has this.
That's kind of a hard question because it really depends on what you want. There's definitely different RVs for different purposes. So if you wanted to do a lot of boondocking and like doing all that free camping stuff, you would definitely probably want an RV that's more equipped for that. On the other hand, other people wouldn't care about that at all. They wouldn't care if there are solar panels or how big the tanks are or anything like that. So, I mean, it's really just personal preference. If you aren't good mechanically or handy, you would definitely want someone with you if you were going to shop for a used RV.
Yeah, stuff like I've heard RVs have a big problem with the roof leaking. So you want to look at the roofs.
Yeah, you would definitely want that. You would definitely want someone with you if you weren't able to check everything, because there are a lot of things to check when it comes to an RV.
Right. So regarding your favorite RV mobile apps, what do you use and why?
RV mobile apps?
Yeah, I heard there's like fuel apps and stuff. Do you not use any of that?
the only one I use is Gas Buddy.
Gas Buddy.
To see where the nearest gas station is.
Ah, okay.
I use that app. It's awesome.
Yeah, our RV holds 150 gallons of diesel. So, I mean, if there's a gas station that is like just 50 cents cheaper, I mean, that's a decent amount of money that we could save. So that's my top app.
Nice. So in terms of driving an RV, is it, I mean, it depends on the RV you have, I guess, but is it as difficult to drive as I would think it would be?
I actually don't drive it at all. My husband does all of the driving. For me, I have like really bad eyesight and I just really don't like to drive. So, I mean, for me, I wouldn't want to do it. But if you have a great husband who wants to do it, then yeah, it's great.
Cool.
Yeah.
So let's switch paths a little bit into entrepreneurship. So for those of you listening who don't know, Michelle runs a very, very successful blog, Making Sense of Sense. And last year, she put out an awesome course on affiliate marketing, which I took. And now I figured out how to monetize one of my side hustles, which is blogging. So thanks, Michelle, for that. That was awesome.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Now, given the success of the course, you're in an income range that most people probably just never needed to learn any facts on how to manage that amount of money. And I know you release your income reports on your blog. So at this point, you're getting into the 5 figures a month. Now you're in 6 figures a month. So how does someone who's making that much money, like what types of finance decisions do you need to make that are different? Like, I think you mentioned S Corp is one of the things you've looked into. If we do have people listening who are in that income range, what types of stuff should they do?
So some things that you definitely want to do if you run like a business or you just earn 6 figures a month, you would definitely want an accountant. So even though I have like a really extensive finance background and I have like 3 different finance degrees and business degrees, I still have an accountant. He helps me with my taxes. And so pretty much I do my taxes and then I have him do it. And then I compare them to make sure that we're each doing them right. So that's a great way to make sure I'm not missing out like on any really good tax deductions or anything that I should be doing for my business. I also consult him on business decisions, and that's really important. So any other experts, so like if you need legal help, I would definitely contact a lawyer. And I have a pretty good law background too, but I actually recently contacted a lawyer too. So, I mean, you definitely want to, even if you feel like you're knowledgeable in the area, I would still contact experts to actually help you just in case you are missing anything, because there is a good chance that you probably are. And then my other tip would be to definitely find ways to invest. So many people like say like, oh, well, that's easy to do. Like you definitely would be investing. It's so easy to save that amount of money. But I actually read something recently where the average person who makes $50,000 a month only saves $4,000 a year. So, I mean, that's like, that's a crazy amount of money to not be saving. And a lot of people say, well, like, I mean, that's just crazy. Those people are dumb. Obviously, if the average person who makes that amount of money is only saving that small amount of money, it's like more of a mindset problem, lifestyle inflation. There's other things that are going into play there.
Wow. That's absolutely crazy.
Yeah, definitely.
In terms of maybe one of the tax tips that your accountant gave you, can you share that with us?
So one of the things I did, I think this was about 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, I switched to an S corp for my business. So I was an LLC for several years, and I thought about switching to an S corp for a long time, but I just thought it was too much work. So I was just kind of like pushing it off. I was like, oh, I wouldn't save that much money. Finally, I talked to my accountant about it, and he told me how much money I was possibly missing out on by not switching. And he pretty much did all of the work for me. Of course, I had to pay him a little bit of money, but he did like all the work for me, and I'm saving several thousand dollars a year. So, I mean, if you are thinking about switching to an S corp, or if you're thinking about just like contacting an accountant, so many people run businesses and do it all on their own without any CPA or accountant or anything like that. You could possibly be leaving money on the table. You probably are leaving money on the table. So my top tip would be to reach out to an accountant and have them help you.
Definitely can agree with that. Gwen and I are still figuring out what to do about our podcast. Do we open a business together? Is it an LLC? I don't think it would be an S corp. Do you know, is there a certain level that you need to wait until you become an S corp? Like, it doesn't make sense before.
So I've talked to accountants about this, and I've always heard, of course, there's no like strict rule or whatever, but you don't really want to think about it until you're earning around $40,000 to $60,000 a year from that business.
We've got a little bit of time.
We're close.
Because there is a good amount of work that goes into it, and there's a lot of paperwork and stuff. So, I mean, until then, it doesn't really pay off from what I've heard.
Goals. Okay, cool. Well, thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah.
So what do you have lined up? What fun stuff do you and your husband have planned for the winter and spring?
So we are sitting in Tucson for like the next 3 months. We have some trips planned out of here. So we'll be leaving our RV here for a few weeks. In the beginning of January, we're actually taking our whole families to the Bahamas. We rented like a huge Airbnb on the beach, and we're going to have a super fun vacation with the family. It's the first time we've ever done this. And then a few weeks after that, we will be traveling elsewhere, possibly Europe. And then in the springtime, we are thinking about starting to look for a sailboat, to start learning how to sail better and possibly move on to it after we're done RVing.
Nice.
I love that. I keep hearing about people living in sailboats. And I had Kristen Haynes from The Wayward Home on my blog try to guest post about it, which was really inspiring.
Yeah.
And then Gwen and I had Melody from Saving to Sail on in a previous episode.
They're both great.
Yeah, they're awesome and sharing all their wisdom. So it's got me kind of thinking about boating, but I have no boating skills. Do you have any sailboating history or experience?
I just have a little. I went on that 2-week-long sailing trip in the BVIs over the summer, but my husband has a lot more experience.
The British Virgin Islands, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
How did your husband get that experience?
So he has uncles who sail, and then his mom actually took, I don't know if you know where Outward Bound is.
Yep.
His mom actually did a month-long sailing trip where she lived on the boat, like, when she was a teenager. So she knows how to sail, too.
I always wanted to do those.
Yeah, I've always heard great things about them.
It was like the one step up from Girl Scout camp, you know, you go Outward Bound.
Yeah.
Was Girl Scout camp cool for you, Gwen?
I don't know if there's any way to make Girl Scout camp cool, but I definitely thought it was the funnest thing on the face of the planet. And that summer that I spent out at camp as a lifeguard was probably one of the best summers of my entire life.
Aw, that's awesome.
Yeah, I would not be who I am today without the Girl Scouts.
I was really restless, and I almost got kicked out of the Girl Scout troop when I was younger, just being kind of wild, like running around and everything. So I'm surprised. I can't. So if I was almost kicked out, how was little Gwen, the angel, there too? Because I'm sure you were an active kid, right?
To say that I was like a spaz who was constantly like acting like I drank like 4 gallons of Mountain Dew a day. Yeah, I think that it was just because I was around people who had the patience of several saints.
Okay, cool. Michelle, were you ever in Girl Scouts?
Nope, I was not.
You're missing out.
I know.
A lot of cookies were pushed on my friends and family through me.
Oh my gosh.
Hustled. Seriously.
I sold so many cookies.
So many. Oh, I love those cookies though. All right. Well, we're going on a tangent, but let's wrap it up with Michelle and ask her our final two questions.
Okay.
So first, Michelle, if people want to learn more about you and your incredible blog and RV journey, where can they find you?
So the top place would just be to go to makingsenseofsense.com, and that's where you'll find like all of my articles. But if you want to follow like my RV pictures and my RV journey or whatever, just go to my Instagram account, and that is instagram.com/MichelleSchroe. And if that's confusing at all, just go to makingsenseofsense.com, and it's in the right-hand corner.
Seriously, though, everybody should follow her on Instagram because yeah. It's amazing.
Plus one that.
It's my favorite social media.
We're going to link to that because you get all these beautiful pictures of hiking and sailing and all the cool things that you're doing. So definitely people need to check that out.
Yeah, thank you.
I just share pictures of my cat on Instagram.
You
That's
do.
Great, too.
You got a very cute cat, though. You got a really cute
cat. I have an adorable cat, so it's totally worth it.
Yes. All right.
All right. And Michelle, for question number two, if you could do anything, have anything in the world, what is your wildest dream?
My wildest dream. I feel like
Go
I'm doing that right now.
Crazy.
I feel like it's what I'm doing right now. RVing for sure. I mean, I don't think I'd stop this. I mean, I don't have any plans to live in a quote unquote normal house anytime soon. RVing has definitely been a blast. I definitely recommend it to anyone who's interested.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on, and we're excited to share your story. It's been great. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. Go to our website, firedrillpodcast.com, to continue the discussion and get the link to our private Facebook group.
If you like us, leave us a review on iTunes. If you're like me, you have no idea how to do that. So, in the podcast app or in iTunes, search for Fire Drill Podcast, find it, click the Reviews tab, and write something to make my mother proud of me. We read every single review and want to say thank you from the bottom of our hearts for making this podcast possible.